Yes, please.
Thank you. It's the Yorkville Public Library Finance Committee meeting, January 4th, 2023, 6 p.m. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Milchewski?
Here.
Crawford?
Here.
Millen?
Here.
And Reifsteck?
Here.
Thank you.
And we have some visitors that you could have, like, board members and city staff. So thank you very much for being here. We have any public or public comment? So here we are in our new business for budget planning for fiscal year 24. So we got lots of stuff here in front of us.
I can speak to some of these.
Okay.
So if we just start off at the top of second page where it lists the accounts. I am questioning the library subscription card. We have budgeted $8,500. Those are for non-residents. And at a meeting in November, I spoke to you guys about needing to make a decision on allowing cards for kids under the age of 18 for free, regardless of where they live. So that can affect that income there. So when I had done the math back in November, I kind of figured the adults versus the kids who have households, and it's about $3,500 approximately at that current time who held cards who were just adults in the household. So I don't know if you guys want to reduce this, if you want to leave it. I think it's going to depend on how you guys vote. We're offering these cards for kids as well, so it's something for you guys to think about. But that is something that would have to be adjusted if you do that, because we won't be getting that income. Okay. And down in salaries and wages and part-time salaries, Rob's providing me these numbers, and this includes a 5% COLA, which is we're following what the city is offering right now for its employees based on the Consumer Price Index. That rate was 7 to 9?
Well, I mean, for property taxes, it was at 7, but it gets capped at 5 because of detail. But, I mean, tentatively, the city's setting it at 5%, so we matched that with the library. And then also, too, with the part-time folks for FY24, I also bumped them up by 5% as well.
Right, because as of the 1st, their minimum wage went up to 13. So, these are all options. Mm-hmm. As far as the administrative chargeback, this for $15,000. This is Caitlin's portion that we pay for her salary, which is very small because that, you know, includes she. It's not only her salary; it's also her benefits as well. So this is something we really need to look at increasing as well. And if you go down a little further, buildings grounds chargeback. For $6,621, that is Ted's charge, and that is very low too, compared to the amount of time that he has spent here at this library.
Is the chargeback what's coming just from the city charging us, or is this something, I mean, how does that, do we get a bill when we just say, here's the money?
No, typically the way it works is everything for Ted, for instance, gets paid out of the Buildings and Grounds Fund. Mm-hmm. And then on a monthly basis, we just take that budgeted amount and then transfers over from the library. So it's $6,400 divided by 12. So each month you chip away at that budgeted amount. So that at the end of the year, it's a total of $6,428.
Okay.
And keep in mind that's based on a certain amount of hours. If I remember right, it's like 4 hours a week.
Okay.
Needless to say, we're going to
4 to 8.
Or that might be 8.
And he is here
Yeah, no.
Recently, he is here almost
even
all day.
And a godsend to us. Even before recent event, he's here.
Yes, he is.
A couple days a week.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we're throwing things out there, I would like to have him here half the time.
Yeah, we've benefited quite a bit.
Yes.
We have. We've saved a lot of money having him here.
And right now, you don't get charged for the facilities.
Which is steep, yes. Mm-hmm. So that's also something to
They're
going to
be hiring another facilities manager. Mm-hmm. Don't know how that's all going to play out, but I have a memo later to discuss that with the city.
Okay. Okay.
That would be my recommendation. Able to come to the library.
Okay.
We're going to have two new buildings, hopefully within the next 3 years. But
yeah.
It's still a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
So our dues and subscriptions are still relatively the same. I keep track of that we pay out to our all our subscribers. The professional services is at $40,000, and that has been basically what it's been for several years. And this is, I've starred that you can see Steve's notes. It's the additional last two sheets stapled to this packet in red. Steve listed some of the professional services that need to be included in this, and the big one is our janitorial service for $62,000, but we were paying that in part-time salaries, so it's almost a wash.
Okay. Almost a wash, so we're like the difference is like $1,500 type of wash?
Yeah, I mean, it's very limited.
So we need to transfer this. Mm-hmm. No?
It's already been done. Right. No, so this reflects.
This shows what it is.
Under the part-time salaries, that reflects the current staff that we have.
Okay.
So you have less part-time staff.
Yes. We have
because
four
of the
less part-time staff.
And some of these items have to be done by COVID. Elevator inspections, fire alarm inspections, fire sprinkler inspections, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
It has to be done.
Yeah, I know.
We have no choice on that. Yeah. Some of the other ones, in theory, are optional, but as we've seen over the last 6 months, HVAC preventative maintenance is not an optional pushback on anymore.
And it was in the past.
Yes.
Is that the asterisk? Is that what it's supposed to be done?
The asterisks have to be done. HVAC preventative maintenance, that's up in the air, but I mean, if we don't do it, we're just going to hurt ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. Because what we were told, Russ told us at one meeting, for several years they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And you can't do that.
And that's what
I hope we don't have
to do that. That's why Shelly's dealing with everything she's doing right now, and so same with the board.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the items that he also has listed on here is the HVAC. BAS, it's the Building Automation System.
Yes.
It's the computer that we have.
Yeah.
It's very limited in scope.
Right now, we're trying to test to make sure VAV is working in here.
Mm-hmm.
We can only do so much. We can't override a lot of the systems. So, A, it needs to be maintained on a regular basis, which means upgrades to the computer, which was just done. But we'll have to change some of the settings to try to better condition the building.
Right. The computer is what failed, right? That's the new the board is what failed.
This is different.
This is different.
The
okay.
board up in the boiler room.
For the boilers.
That's
boiler
totally
controlled.
This is a computer system on the main floor.
Okay, okay.
In the back that runs all the HVAC systems.
All the, okay.
So this system, and I asked Todd this, and I guess it wasn't functioning or it's not here. I guess, is there an alarm system somehow that somebody gets when this goes down?
Not the way it's presently set up.
So that's something that's thinking when we're talking about budgeting.
And
what are we?
This doesn't include that. This is just the general maintenance contract. But until we get through some of the HVAC items, we're making a list of yeah, we'd like to change this, we'd like to change that, and try to get alarms out. There's a way of doing some of this through our alarm panel now and putting a sensor up above like Shelly's office and other areas, but we got to look into all that.
Yeah.
We haven't thrown any money at that on the budget for this. But if we don't start putting safeguards in, we're going to have catastrophic failures.
Yeah, because I mean, that was a good thing on Christmas, that somebody was here on Christmas cleaning.
Yeah,
I mean, what was the odds of that? And so that was the start of it, knowing it was, you know, having issues.
And technically, they weren't even supposed to be here. They came in on that day versus another day. And
yeah.
Thank God
they came in. You know,
but yeah, I mean, that would be upgrades to the system, adding some points in there, alarms, and... Don't know if this company's going to be able to do. We'll have to check on that, where it dials out or sends a text or email to myself and future facilities manager, whatever. Because that's how I got most of my Oswego building set up.
So comes
on my phone.
Yeah. Because I know, like, and I don't know how in-depth the school system is. When I worked at, for the district, they have, you know, that alarm would go off and call somebody that, you know, and it wasn't just a door off, but it could be, a smoke detector is not working.
Or a low temp in an area where we catch it when it's 50 degrees versus when the pipe blows and then we have water everywhere.
And all of that can be done onto one system where,
I don't know, this system in particular, I haven't dug that deep into the system, but yeah, most of the BAL systems nowadays, you can do all that.
That would be something that would be considered. Yes.
So that would require having a maintenance contract with the company that installed that.
Which one? This particular new one?
This.
This isn't a new one. This is just a maintenance contract with our existing company.
Okay.
So to make sure everything's working right on that system at least once a year, or we call them and say, hey, we need some desk time on here to change some points or whatever.
And this is the new one that we just installed? The computer system?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Is this also Trico or is this somebody different?
No, that's the new one. Serco.
Right.
So Serco, okay.
Yeah. I think I'm saying that right.
That's something that really needs to be.
The next line down is lighting control system. So remember when we had problems with the outside lights? That panel that runs the lighting, that company is no longer. But Steve has found someone.
Acuity Brands bought that company. But when the lights were on 24/7 outside, we needed to get a photo cell. Cannot buy it unless we have a service agreement with this company.
Really?
That's how they're holding us hostage. But that system should be checked every year to make sure everything's functioning right. I mean, it really could go bad, whatever. And right now, I haven't had time to spend on that system. Nobody other than maybe Dirk knows how to even get in that system and run.
And that's the outside lights?
That's the whole building lights.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So say you change your schedule for the buildings at a certain time frame of the year or whatever. We can't change the schedule.
And this is, if I recall, wasn't this something that, when I were asked, as long as I've been here, that we didn't have, who knows how these lights come on and off, is controlled by some...
It was a company that was supposedly in California
We were told.
It was.
Yeah, that's what we were told.
They went under, but Acuity Brand brought the rates for all their equipment.
Okay.
So they could come in and check the system and possibly give us training... So we know how to run the system.
Right. Because it's not good not knowing how to
run the system. No, and it's not just a simple photo cell or light sensor in an office. This is all based on timers and different zones.
Okay. Glad we're doing this.
The next one down is parking lot seal coating in case we can't get it done from the city. We should have this in our budget as well to take care of.
This should be a reoccurring expense every 3 years.
Mm-hmm. What's the cost for that?
That I haven't figured out yet.
Okay, yeah, it's nothing.
The city did not charge us to do that.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But we're at the beck and call
when
they can get it in their program.
So we just had seal coating done this year.
Yeah. this past year.
2022, yeah.
And I just did this as a placeholder, things we should list in there. Right. It could be a zero amount this year, but
right.
2 years from now.
Mm-hmm. These are just all things that are not currently being thought of
yes.
in that $40,000.
Yes, I like it.
Landscaping, we have the city do our landscaping. We do a volunteer spring cleanup.
We do.
Which we can still continue to do, but, you know, if you're a homeowner and you have a yard, you can't take care of it just once a year. So to do a fall and spring cleanup would be lovely. That had been done in the past, so we just thought of earmarking about $3,000 for that.
I don't know, and I don't know if there's still a function. Is there still a garden club active in our club?
No, they had disbanded.
They did, okay.
Yeah, just the
because they used to help as
yeah.
well.
Okay. Yeah, they did. Fire sprinkler testing is now done quarterly. That's something new, right?
Yeah, code changed about a year ago. It's got to be tested every quarter now. So that's obviously going to increase your cost.
Because it used to be just yearly.
Just yearly. Mm-hmm.
Which company did that, or was it...
Is that Fox Valley Farms?
Let me see. Annual sprinkler inspection. Great Lakes Fire?
Yeah. Which, now that if funding's approved, obviously, we can negotiate that with different companies. You don't have a service agreement with them locked in, so we can price it out with three different companies and try to save money that way. My end goal would be trying to get the same contracts we have for the city brought across the library.
Yeah,
that would make sense.
That would make sense.
It's better pricing. Yes. Even if you save $1,000 a year, it's $1,000 a year.
Right, but it makes sense, business sense.
It's a city building.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but it would also make life easier for everybody.
Yes.
Say, like, Ted comes
the
out.
The facilities.
Or he does all the fire extinguishers at one time.
Exactly.
Through the whole village and be done.
On the same schedule.
It just saves multiple days and different contracts trying to balance it all.
Right.
Yeah, if we can go on to with the city, then all the better. You know,
anything that we
better
can.
Better savings.
Does the city, do they do this? They're going to do the new city hall.
No,
I have to say,
someone,
do they do like the public works building? I don't know if they have
descriptors on
that.
No, they don't have descriptors. Other than the wall houses. But, yeah, it's... City Hall's got one small system that covers the records. But obviously, the new building's going to have it. If we build the public works parks building, that's going to have it. So it's just more cost efficient to get everybody on the same page. All the contracts all expire at one time.
Right.
Versus this building this year, the building next year.
Mm-hmm. And then it makes it easier for the facilities as well.
Okay, so that takes care of... backflow testing as well.
That's on the sprinklers.
We were on the city's...
Yeah, we built you on this. Our contract this year. Well, we don't have a formal agreement, but...
This is backflow on a sprinkler system, or is this
backflow on a sprinkler system, and then like any hose bibs, anything like that that are have backflows on them?
Okay,
they have to be tested annually by law.
This is good.
Mm-hmm. So Steve's numbers in red, total $87,000.
Which is way more.
So
than
that would be
you're
in
more than doubling
to the 40.
In addition, or?
Yeah,
it's addition
because that's 61 right there for the janitorial services.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Because we still have, and Steve doesn't know about these contracts, we have contracts with TBS, which is our scan system, our
printing.
Our wireless printing, our PC counter, our access to the public computers, our coin towers. So we have several contracts with them. We have a contract with Impact Printer, which is our copy machines. So we have two of those. Umbrella Technologies is our key fob system. That's a yearly contract we have. ADS is our contract for our burglar alarms and our fire alarms. We have an elevator contract for quarterly maintenance. We have contract with for our website and web hosting. We have contract with our E-rate funding person and our deep freeze software that runs our software on our computers. Our IT contract. I put Marlis's bills in our contract section as well, and all of our annual testings.
And you put all those costs together?
That's included in the 40,000.
So this is an addition.
Mm-hmm. Right. So
right now you said the elevator is, the elevator here is annually preventive maintenance, but you said we also, it's the one that you said was included in that 40?
The elevator's on here.
Right, but she just said the elevator was included in hers as well. Her list that she just provided. Elevator's here under this.
Right, I starred that one.
Okay.
Because that was included in my...
Yours. Yeah. Right, that's what I'm saying. Okay.
So we're saying that we need to make this $127,100 is what you're saying.
And all the ones that are starred are the new ones or the ones that we already have?
Required.
Required, yes. I mean, we would have never seen any of this had we not had you here to help us with this. I mean, I've been on the board for a while, and I mean, this is the first time I actually saw.
And I'll tell you right now, this is not perfection. Right?
But still, it's something that we can start
where
with.
Where you can start seeing where the money needs to go.
Exactly.
I know the money's not just hanging around on trees.
Exactly.
And something this size requires a facilities manager.
Yes, it does.
I think.
But our budget...
And it requires that it's maintained.
Well,
yeah,
yes. Like,
you know,
if you had the facilities manager, they would be recommending.
Yes. Preventative maintenance is what it's
needed. Well, yes. And the good part is hiring a facility manager just for Yorkville, there'll be more time spent in
between all the
versus me bouncing between
all
the two municipalities.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what's 50% now turns into 100% time over. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm done with that one.
Okay.
So if we skip Steve's notes and I go back to the page that starts with legal services, the next one down is called automation. That we had proposed 21,000. I believe that's going to need to increase to 23,000, and that is based on automation is all of our computer software that we run, and our membership with Prairie Cat, and that membership dues is increasing this year to $20,000. So it's most of
Prairie Cat.
It's mostly Prairie Cat, absolutely.
Is that an inflationary increase every year, or is it just a raising this year, or we don't know?
It is inflationary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what they do every year, like a 3% or 5% increase? Or?
A lot of it also is based on active cards, the amount in our collection, and I believe population served.
Okay. Scary.
Yeah. I can send you their spreadsheet.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Breakdown of what...
Okay. Maybe we get like a cost of, you know, inflationary adjustment every year so we can kind of mirror what they're doing.
Okay. Okay. So, utilities. I have a question on this one. You know how we spent a lot of money last year because of our gas usage?
Mm-hmm.
Do we keep the same budget amount? Do you recommend keeping the same budget amount or reducing it?
I'd have to see how we're trending dollar-wise. It's just natural gas that we're paying for.
Correct.
Right.
Everything else, but anything we'd say about electrical
fire. And I know we were saving on usage, but it wasn't comparison because the price of natural gas that we all pay.
The therm adjusts over time, the cost per therm.
Right.
Will we in budget even with that big increase? I mean, is that the past amount?
Because we went up.
23,000. You're proposing to take it to 24/7?
Yeah, because we started getting our savings in August.
Mm-hmm, I'm looking here.
Which were considerably down from last year. Mm-hmm. But we're still going to be hitting, we're very close to what we were last year, total cost for this year. So based on that, I'd say go no lower than 22. We'll have to see how the whole year spans out and if they raise gas prices, which the way the economy is right now, kind of only knows what they're going to do.
Yeah, because they went down.
Mm-hmm. So you think we're safe to take that one down to 22?
22.
All right.
Mm-hmm. 22 for the
utility. We've been running down for the last 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then that leads me to...
One question. So the roof is metal, and when we saw what had happened, should there have been insulation up there?
We're looking into that.
Okay.
I haven't had the time to pull up the whole drawing, see if it was called for originally. If not, we're going to have to hire an engineer to possibly look at that. There's heat up there.
Yeah.
But since the pipe failed at that point, the boiler could have been part of it. We don't know for sure.
Okay.
There was a weak point in there, and it blew. The pipes were just shattered.
Okay.
The next line item down is the outside repair maintenance. So if you want to go back to Steve's notes in red on that, he's broken that out as well. So this is where you'll see all of the bills for Ardionyl, Trico, anything that needs to be repaired comes out of here. So currently, I believe Steve has said we've spent $45,000 on HVAC repairs.
And we still have more work to do. Mm-hmm. Right now we know there's 6 VAV boxes that aren't actuating correctly. We can replace actuators, possible dampers. We don't know how in-depth it's going to get. We haven't gone through every unit yet.
Okay.
And, I mean, we could bump some of this to next year. Obviously, this is going to be a tight year based on what we spent so far. But if we don't start planning more in a repair line, it's going to be beating up the other sides of the budget.
So he's listed a few other items on here as well. Electrical repairs.
During the water incident, one of the surge protectors blew. That's what we think saved all our IT equipment. Because water was in the electrical ducts underneath the IT room. They vacuumed it out and they shut everything out, but it blew the surge protector. You're looking at about $35,000 to $4,000 to replace one of those. The two other ones right now are starting to blip red, which means they're failing. So I'm getting quotes for those already, but that's the kind of stuff. It might not be every year. It might just be some minor electrical stuff, but you should keep something in there. Guess what? At the end of the year, if you don't spend it, you're golden. But you can't take what we spend this year, and if we spend under, drop the budget for the following year. You're going to have to keep this almost status quo or do a 2%, 3% increase every year to protect it. A lot of this equipment's getting younger, and there's some more information we're going to share with you in a little bit of what the standards are on some of this equipment.
Okay.
So we're looking at the 50, 750 in addition to the 50,000 for that line item?
Yes.
Well, this is in addition to it.
So, the 50 the total was included. Totals are in addition.
So what is included in this 50 then? The outside, is that what our standard?
Well, we've already spent 45 this year.
Okay.
So HVAC, I expect to fully spend that much next year, maybe a little bit less. We have repairs done to the chiller, but we haven't run on our full load under heat.
8.
So we could run into problems there. VAVs definitely need to be gone through completely. We have some radiant heat that's acting up. I just can't throw a solid dollar amount at it. I'm taking a guess at this one just to cover ourselves.
So this is an additional based on what we've spent this year.
So those two added together is
103.
750. And like the fire extinguisher testing, that fluctuates every year. Mm-hmm. Only for the fact that when you get to the 5-year mark, you got to do hydro testing. You got to refill everything. So 1 year it'll be $200, next year it's going to be $800.
It just goes up and down. This year.
And by rolling it in with the city, we can ask the tech when he's out at each building, what do you think for next year? Do we have a lot of the hydro tests coming up? They'll be able to tell us right there. They pump your budget for the following year. And we do this every January.
Okay.
So, I mean, we could still adjust the budget accordingly.
Okay.
Elevator repairs, just a placeholder in case buttons go bad, anything like that. If it's major, it's going to be...
Yeah, we found out one button costs a fortune.
Yep. That's one reason why I added this line item. Plumbing repairs is general stuff, and roof repairs, as the building gets older, we're going to have roof repairs to do. Mm-hmm. We got a flat roof on some of the sections, and we just have to keep it up.
In those areas, it's an increase to our budget of
$140,850.
Yes.
And then there's one more, right?
And something you could do, and Rob could correct me, you could make a building as a grounds line item in their budget.
You could, yeah.
And roll professional services for maintenance and outside repair maintenance into one line item. That would be up to you guys if that's how you want it. And then separate it from the other professional services.
I didn't hear. Sorry.
Instead of having professional services with maintenance-related items and all the contracts Shelly has for IT, everything like that, you could create a building of grounds.
That makes sense.
And have it all in one lump sum versus having two different pots where you're pulling it out of.
Plus, it's a lot easier from a coding standpoint. For maintenance and grounds, and they keep
right.
the professional services for the other stuff that
right.
that's the automated.
Then, like janitorial.
Shall we still have all our library stuff?
That makes sense.
I should say library stuff, but the IT and all that stuff is a separate.
Right. For professional.
Line item.
That makes sense.
That does make sense. Mm-hmm. We probably should do that.
Yeah.
Just that way we can track it better.
Mm-hmm. Because the other ones are not. I mean, professional services are professional services, and grounds is grounds, maintenance.
Well, you just pull one line item, and that's
exactly.
what we spend on maintenance this year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Whether it be parking lot stuff, grounds, whatever.
It makes
Yeah, we could do that. That's fine. I mean, just my theory is with professional services are more of your intangibles, like, you know, legal services and professional service. An accountant and architecture would be professional. But outside repair, actually, most of your stuff probably is outside repair when you have somebody physically coming out here and manipulating something. Mm-hmm. So, we can kind of change that outside repair into like a building and grounds line item and capture a lot of that, pretty much everything within that line item. So,
I think that's what we should do.
Yeah, I mean, from a tracking standpoint for Shelly.
Yes, for her to be able to see.
Item, building and grounds for the 140.
And then she can keep to all the other stuff that's within the library.
Which you also have outside repair and maintenance, which you probably want to put in there, too. This
yeah, that and professional service kind of merge those in the building.
Yeah, they'll merge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we'll pick apart those two line items and kind of see what's what and kind of what makes sense. But we can definitely have the bulk of that in a building and grounds line item, so it's all there in one line item for you, if that's what you'd like.
Shelly, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you kept your IT and other items in a separate section, whether it's retitled or whatever it be, would probably be easier for your tracks from a standpoint that way.
Oh, sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, we'll play around.
Because that's how we pretty much do it in city side, is buildings and grounds for all the buildings. And
yeah, and we have an IT services line item. We can go that route depending on how much you spend in IT. I mean, there's definitely a bunch of different things we can do, so we'll sit down and kind of pick it apart and see what makes sense.
What makes it easy for us to be able to track it?
It's like if you just throw them in all these different accounts, it's just so hard to manage.
It is.
And when you're reviewing budgets like this, mm-hmm. wait, what's going on in the professional services?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
It gives you more of a true accounting of what you're spending.
Exactly. Yeah. In which departments, in which different areas. Okay.
Okay. Everything else looks good to me, with the exception of, I just want to point out that the last two on here, before the debt services, the DVDs and the books, we always pay, or we always purchase books and DVDs with development fees money. Mm-hmm. And it's really, it shouldn't be done that way.
Why was it done then?
I don't know.
Well, in the past, the development fee fund had money. Yeah. And they were struggling operationally, so that's why they did that. Obviously, things are kind of reversing now, okay. But initially, that's why they did that.
So in a perfect world, I would like to have the money come from there and use the development fee money for capital improvements.
Yes.
So you would take the development...
Can you do that? Can we use development fee money for capital improvements?
Oh, yeah, that's what it's primarily supposed to be for. Yeah, that's why we isolated that fund.
We
haven't done it in a while.
A good portion of it is used for books and materials.
No, books and materials should be books and materials.
It should be coming out of the regular budget.
We've had so much money coming in on the development fees that we haven't been hurting for that. That's why we did move it
over there
because that's where the money was. The money was coming in there and from development fees, so we could do the DVDs and books that way.
But because Shelly does such a great job of tracking everything, this is going to make it easy for her.
Sure.
I would like to make sure that...
So we can take development fees and apply them to the buildings and grounds. That would be okay to do. When you say capital,
equipment replacement.
That's different.
That's equipment.
Yeah, that's different.
Okay.
Yeah, maintenance should probably be paid out of operations.
Yeah.
But if you're buying something new, then
that goes out of capital fund.
So the capital fund would be like if we're looking that we're going to need a new
shelter. Right.
Big replacement.
Relamping the whole building.
Yeah. So you're saying moving the development fees to capital, or just
now,
taking the books
right
and creating
now,
your own?
I don't know how this gets funded.
Which one?
Any of it.
If we base off all this money here, all these changes on our budget account, and not including the development fees, how do we do this?
Oh, okay.
Because every year we're coming in at saving at about $30,000 or something along those lines. And then, we were still in the...
Let's pose this to our... Let's go back to... How is the money funded to the library?
Well, primarily for your operations, it's property tax-based. Mm-hmm. And that's like...
So that's off the tax levy.
Right, so it's 92% of your revenue was just based off the tax levy. The debt service is a wash. And then as far as your development fees, it's just building permits based on new housing starts. Now, we've been fortunate the last several years. Housing starts, as you probably all know, the town has been pretty robust. How long that'll continue is everybody's guess. I hope it keeps going. But, that'll remain to be seen. So it's kind of a volatile revenue stream from your building side because, permits can change overnight. And it has back in 2010.
And I heard John, I think yesterday on the radio, he said there was a projection of 260 new home starts for this year. Is that correct? Is that what
seems about right? Yeah.
So basically, there's two funding streams.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the bond is a wash. Comes in, goes out.
Right.
I mean, the good news is from an operational standpoint, your levy increased by $100,000 this year, just because we had 30. Or it's estimated rather to increase by $100,000, just because we had 31 million in new property and tax rolls for the first time, plus inflation's high at 5%. So, I budget next year for your levy to grow at 5% and then 3% thereafter. That would be a little conservative, but you do have a strong, healthy levy, and you can continue to increase by 5% or more per year. It may not be as bad as we initially think, looking at the budget as it stands now.
And then a capital fund. So if we take this money and we put it in capital improvements, That rolls over year to year if we don't spend it?
It does. It all goes to fund balance.
It's a savings account.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I think that needs to happen.
And that can go negative as long as you have enough operational cash in your operating so that when you look at the library as a whole, it's a positive number.
Mm-hmm. Shelley?
Is that something you have to... your capital plan, do you have to put a budget amount on that to say you're going to save this much for the year? Do you have to pull it out of...
It's really just planning from the budget. Like, let's say you have a huge expenditure, and it just so happens, I believe you do. It's like you want to do a chiller replacement in fiscal year 25, is it? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, that would be something you would want to try to plan out for and keep that fund balance number as high as possible. You know, so when you go into FY25, hopefully you have enough money to kind of... So it's just really about planning it out in future years, which is the whole reason we do kind of a one-year budget, but then we do 4 years projection, just so we can kind of look at these big upcoming costs. Not just for the library, but for citywide, and then kind of plan accordingly. You know, whether that's some sort of financing mechanism or whatever, that's just the whole point of doing it that way.
Okay, so that leads me to a conversation I had. Our bonds will be paid off 2025.
I was just going to bring that up.
2025?
2025.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that correct? So I started a conversation on is there a way to capture that bond money at no cost to taxpayers. I happened to see an article that the Sugar Grove Library is in the same instance right now. They are putting a referendum together for this instance to keep that bond money at no cost to the taxpayers, but it had to go through a referendum. Is that something that we could look at, or
I just know that the way it stands now, that would go away after FY25, just because the levies based on debt service amounts that we filed with the county when the bond was first issued. And obviously, if there's no debt service to be paid, then there's nothing for the county to levy. Now, as far as whether or not you can use a referendum to, you know, kind of recoup some or all that money, I mean, that would be more of a question for your attorney or the city attorney. Right. But I just know as it stands now, it will go away once the debt service goes away.
Sure.
And then, you know, a referendum is I suppose it's a possibility, but... Yeah, I would talk to legal counsel, get more clarification on that.
See how it should go.
Well, it could be a good thing, mm-hmm.
but
it just depends what, you know, what's the economy, what's mm-hmm. the climate of the day, you know,
mm-hmm.
in Yorkville, and you know, if it's going to pass or not.
Right.
I mean, there's a last school and went down, so.
Mm-hmm. It's all about timing, really. Just kind of
it is. It's all
things
about
are
timing.
In the world at the time. You know?
Yeah, and you said it's PR.
Yep.
So, good to know. So,
so I don't know if we want to change this
the
materials and books to what we use out of our capital fund for it.
Because you want to be able to capture that, right? Right.
Based on the dollar amounts, it's going to qualify as a capital, right?
So right now, you take, between combining the two, you take 3,500. Am I reading there? Am I double that right there?
Oh, yeah.
What is that for your books and your...
Books and DVDs.
500, and so it's 2,000.
2,000.
But on the next page, you have...
Page 5.
Yeah, it's different.
Oh, it is different. Mm-hmm. That's under the capital fund.
Yes.
That's
okay.
Yeah, the bulk of your books comes out of capital, but you do have a line item in your operations for it as well.
So we should be using the operations for the books and DVDs and not the capital fund.
That's what you should be doing.
But
yes.
You're saying that as far what we need to do is increase this one to 500
and then
decrease or more.
And why were we doing that again?
What is it, the time the capital had the wherewithal to pay, had the money to pay?
Had the money to cover
or,
that.
Right.
Or he just never went back to...
Yeah.
There were some lean times during I think it was when we started the recession.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, some very intense.
I'm going to throw this out here. Okay. Capital funds are going to be very quickly spat based on some projections I have.
Okay.
Shannon? Because you're tracking it. And
So on page 3, what would you yes. like to...
What would I like to
yes.
propose on the books?
Yes.
Thank you. Right. I would say for books, you want to be between $45,000 and $50,000 for the year for books.
For books?
Yes. DVDs are...
I was going to say, DVDs, do we really have
right.
a lot of usage out of the DVDs?
We would have to do a study on circulation to really see. I mean, because...
There's a lot of streaming services
right.
now.
Right, because if
now
I'm...
Now, there are programs that libraries do for streaming services as well.
Oh, yeah.
Just haven't looked into that because of costs.
Right.
So...
Well, it says that we only use 170. No, you looked at the wrong thing. Sorry. There's nothing there for the fiscal year.
Yeah.
Oh, because it was coming out of the development.
Correct.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there we are. So it was 28.
Page with the red.
So I would.
Yeah. So
I would like to see. Yeah. Books between. We could be conservative and say 45,000.
Yeah, because right now it's at 49,680 for books under the capital.
Is that what we've spent?
That was last year. Oh, 49,680. So yeah, essentially 50,000.
Yeah. I would say to keep that.
Okay. That's what I would like.
Yeah, because that's really close.
Mm-hmm.
It's a couple hundred.
Well, it's not going to get any cheaper, so we know that.
Right.
So are you wanting to switch that from capital fund to over here on operating?
I would
50?
Like that, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if it's possible.
I don't know either.
Well, I mean, this is the first time I've seen all the numbers that Steve has come
right.
up with.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm going to have to kind of play around with the
yeah.
budget. And we're going to
okay.
do some talking offline.
Okay.
I mean, certainly, if
yes.
anything, I imagine we can start doing it on a piecemeal basis. So maybe, you know, we bump it up from, you know, I'm not sure, 1,500, maybe we bump it up to 20,000, so maybe you're only doing 30, and then the next year we kind of do 30. So
okay.
mm-hmm. we just have to see where kind of the numbers fall in place and then kind of go from there.
Okay.
Eventually get it.
Sounds
right.
Good.
Get it right
into
side
our budget,
up. Right.
Right side up.
Sounds right.
So do we want to start at 20?
20.
We'll put that number down.
Now.
Sure.
You'll look
yeah.
for
yeah.
it.
Then,
yeah.
This isn't going to be a one and done meeting.
No, it's not.
We're not another meeting. We still do the, even though we have a custodial company that comes in that we're paying for, custodial supplies, we're still...
We purchase
supplies. We still purchase
them.
Okay.
They use
yep.
our supplies.
Yep.
The company could do it, but you're going to ask astronomical cost.
Yeah, I was trying to remember how that went with... So.
Well, the old company that we use, I stopped using because
yeah.
I could buy them through Amazon,
Fudge.
Quill,
yeah.
for half the price.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
There's one more red item. Are we going to that?
The red item? That's the capital.
What
that's
I say
Steve's.
Is...
Oh, okay.
Don't go to that for. Go to that.
Which one?
Oh.
This one.
Do you have that one?
Yeah.
Do you like it again?
A lot of
if you flip over to the second page.
Second page?
Based on the ASHRAE equipment life expectancy charts that I've provided to you guys, this is what all this equipment should be replaced. Fiscal 26 is an ungodly year.
Hmm.
I'm not saying all this equipment's going to fail at that point, but based on ASHRAE, that's when it's expected to fail. So if we don't earmark some money for it, I mean, some of the stuff like VFDs, we can replace those at any time. They're not as expensive, but some of the VAV boxes, stuff like this, if we don't plan for it, you're taking an emergency out of your building and operating budget. Or if you just have a capital fund sitting there, we take it out of that. It's just a potential risk that I don't think we can take the chance in some cases. I mean, some of this we have passed due already. Mm-hmm. I don't like dollar amounts on everything. I put this together today, but you're looking at millions of dollars. I'd say to cover everything here, you're probably looking at least $2 million, if not more. The rest is going to be $500,000.
So, the things to attack first, what the most, I guess, so we got to look at possibility, probability of failure, because a lot of these things are past life expectancy. Which one should we focus on?
Chiller.
Yeah, chiller. That's what I like.
Number one.
Once we get our first hot spell, we'll know how that one's going to react. We might be able to push this out a year. Mm-hmm. But if we, and obviously we're not going to replace all this equipment in fiscal 24 or 26, but if we can even it out to some extent and prioritize what we need to do based on what we see, VAVs are failing left and right or whatever, we can move that up or down on the chart. But this will give you more than a five-year plan just from HVAC equipment to start working on where you think you're going to have funding available or plan accordingly where you're going to scale back on something else to
cover.
I think it would be wise to set a goal. Yes. I think that it will hold out and not far out.
Right.
Because if it fails and we have to do it on an emergency basis, then
we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
And I mean, right now, HVAC equipment lead time
for
chiller, you're looking at more than a year.
So, right now, at the current.
And I have it set up here where we do the engineering this year, this upcoming fiscal year. And then I have all the drawings, then we can bid it out. We might come below that $260,000, but we'll know at that point. But you could still be waiting a year for your chiller. We waited almost a year for a generator over at the new building.
How does that work in emergency situations?
I know, it's good to see.
Right now, you're out of luck.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some places will have some equipment, but to get the exact size you need and when some needs to be modified, you're in a world of hurt. I mean, Combat can't even get transformers right now.
And you hate to put yourself in that position. No. You have to get something that isn't what we really just need.
And based on the chiller's history that we have here,
we need it.
If it's when.
We need it. Probably yeah, we need it. Need it.
And based on the lead time of this, I mean, we're going to have to bid something. Next fiscal, I should say.
We definitely need to start the process on this. We've had so many failures, so many issues.
I mean, I'd love to say it's going to last another 3 years, but based on its history, I'm not going to throw that out there.
So I have a question. I see the VFDs have been probably way past due.
They're operating right now.
They are okay.
And that's something we could get easier.
Yeah.
If one of them fails and we can do that. Some of the stuff's the same, like unit heaters. They're readily available.
Yeah.
We can do that. But I'm just showing you that we got a lot of money coming up.
Can you explain what a VFD is?
Variable frequency drive. What it does is ramp up a motor slower. So say the air handler kicks on. It doesn't go to full tilt right away. It'll go 10, 20, 30% and ramp up the motor. So you don't beat up your motors as bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's right there.
So I was just wondering, because VFDs at where I work, we had issues trying to get them last year.
I've been picking out off-brand models and getting them into some of the facilities, but it's getting tougher.
Okay.
Because there's electronic boards in it. Anything with chips or boards, it's tough to get.
Why didn't we have them before? Why didn't we have them before?
Well, with that COVID and...
Oh my gosh.
You're just not
going to
be
elected. I know this is probably shocking to a lot of you, but it's got to be discussed.
That's why I said, why didn't we have you here before?
All right. So we definitely need to start the process. I would say the HVAC. That's our first thing of attack right there.
Engineering.
I like your idea of getting the engineering.
Start the process.
And start to debate like that, you should do the engineering the year before, that way the plans are all drawn up, you get all those ironed out, go out to bid even before the fiscal is approved in some cases. And I mean, like this, if we can get this approved, I mean, we order the unit. They'll ask for money up front, but to order the unit, but if we don't do it, we're going to be fiscal 25 before you get it.
And we've already included this in the budget, right? For the engineering? Is that included in the budget?
They're not currently, no.
No, this is a suggestion.
It's in red.
Oh, okay, I see.
I didn't finish that.
I see.
I went through the whole.
I have 3750.
I see right here.
But I have 450 there. I look back at the numbers we had, we're like, what, around 260 for the children.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The ASHRAE standard, so it's not these pulling numbers out saying, hey, this is going to fail this year. What industry standards are.
So, in the capital fund, what is it that we're bringing in each year?
That's development fees from new housing starts.
Right, so what is it that we, do we have that, what we think we're going to get this year from that, or...
Well, I estimated that out on my budget sheet. Obviously, I probably should look at it again, but I have you at 100,000 projected for FY23. So that's double what budget is, and it's pretty much in line with where you've been the last two fiscal years.
Okay.
But depending on what you have in your capital fund right now, you do the engineering, you take off these other items on your books, contract desk, everything, you're not going to have enough money for next year.
And that, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
That's why I was wondering if, you know, if we start the engineering portion, if we have 100,000 that's coming in, I'm not sure how much of that each year that we're that to look to see how do we use that all every did we use that all every year?
No, we don't use it all every year. I mean, you started fiscal year 23 with a $175,000 fund balance, and this year I'm projecting you go up to about 190,000.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, you can certainly do the 6,000.
We start that. We can start the process. We save money with the capital that's coming in, so that next year we have a bit saved up, and then we'd have to approach it and see what we can do.
And by if we do the engineering, bid us out, say fall. I mean, January is usually about the best time, but based on equipment, length of time trying to get them, mm-hmm. I'd say we bid this out later than late summer, early fall. Then you have your budget number for the following year. So if by some crazy chance prices go down, mm-hmm. you know where you're at on your capital fund going into the following year.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And one thing that's a wish list item, that it would be great based on how many bulbs we change in this place, is mm-hmm. retrofitting this to an LED building.
We had a whole presentation.
But then we had to change. She was from ComEd or some company that
Verde. They did a project for me in Oswego at Public Works, and it went 3 days and ultimately done. Huh. And we're saving energy. We haven't seen the exact savings.
We never made a decision on that.
We don't pay for the electricity. It's not in our budget.
Did she need that?
But you got to look at how many labor hours and material costs we're spending on this building right now.
Right.
For light.
Ted's literally over here twice a week.
Changing bulbs?
Changing bulbs.
He's been here the last 2 days, spent at least 4 to 5 hours changing bulbs. Normally you would relamp a building every 3 years.
Oh.
As far as I know, this has never been relamped. Other than new bulbs in.
Yeah. That's true.
So your energy costs would go down, which would be a savings for residents because it gets passed on that way.
Yes.
But your energy savings would help.
Mm-hmm.
And we wouldn't spend as much. Say you get 10 hours a week or 12 hours a week from Ted.
Mm-hmm. Not on light bulbs.
He could be doing other things on light bulbs.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
But I thought when I was in those meetings, it was something else.
I have to go back to my notes.
ComEd gives incentives, but their cost was built in with the comment that's set up in there.
No, I thought it was something with our fixtures or something.
It was something.
Wasn't it the computer and.
The lighting
that's
system.
That's what it was. We didn't have the actual company
to control the lighting.
That controlled the lights during that time.
There was some technical issue.
Yes, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
But if we ever make this agreement in place,
then we'll be able to help.
So the agreement you're saying we now need for the lights is the same company that could...
No, it's a different company.
But we'll be able
but
to go back to
control the lights and... Ted knows where all the breakers are now, so if they need to power stuff now, they can do that.
Okay.
So that would
I mean, we still have to look into it. We've got a couple options for companies because the cost of LEDs have gone up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the job we did over in Oswego, they kind of decided to cover half the cost. Hmm. But just from a maintenance standpoint, they could save tons of dollars here. Not buying bulbs, ballast, everything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then at some point, and these are old lights, it's a problem.
Sometimes we have to replace the fixtures because there's some on the soffit out there that are these pan style. Mm-hmm. There's four bulbs in there. To replace this bulb, you got to pull out these three bulbs.
But even to get tarps and stuff, it's getting harder to...
We leave the ballast in these. Mm-hmm. Just bypass the past the ballast. You put a bulb in there with a driver and you're done. So now, if something failed in the future, put a new bulb.
Easier.
That's what Ted did for the outside lights.
Yep. That's when we started on the bollard lights, and literally, the bollards are this big. There's wiring this far through it. You ripped all the guts out of it, wired it to the socket, and the bulb's got a driver in there. So these will all be replaced.
Yeah, this is the... This
and
build is
and you won't touch the bollards for another 5 years.
Okay.
The cost of doing it is going to save me 2 hours per bollard.
I think I do chiller first. Proposal chiller first. And then.
I heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but like in California, well, I know in California they're doing that. They have so much in, at least that's solar.
Wasn't the city looking at something with solar?
Yes, it's been put on hold temporarily, but it's still on the future plans.
But some of the incentives are going away across some of the states.
That and you got to sign a 20-year contract. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the hard part. So it's twofold. Say this building's due for a roof, which I have down here.
I know.
Before the 20-year agreement's going to get done, we want to replace the roof before they put the solar up.
Yes.
Some of this gets paid for by the company, some doesn't. So it's a balancing game on how we do that.
Mm-hmm. And it's also if you're... Say down with a weird patch, and you're going to build all new building and you want to sell this. The new people have to agree to that 20 years. Mm-hmm. It's like if you put it on your home, you have to sell it with your home.
Yeah.
You have to hope whoever's buying your house.
If we sell that to the school district has to pick up that obligation of that whole different 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And if they don't want to do it,
then you're stuck. Okay.
And they do the maintenance, but it's still a lot of work and infrastructure to do that.
So what I was going to bring up then, the LED, ComEd has got these incentives. Are those incentives, do they have a lifetime? I mean, are we looking at, in 3 years, that's going away, that program?
They just signed another, I want to say it's 3 or 4 year agreement.
Okay.
That they have to have incentives. They can fluctuate from year to year on how much you're saving per watt.
Mm-hmm.
But they are on the books for this year already.
Okay.
Not saying we just have to do it this year, but they usually know in November they post it for the following year. But you have till the end of that calendar year to finish that project and have your paperwork in. Okay. But a company like Verde or some of the other ones, they do all the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to touch that. What I've been dealing with over at the new building, it's taken me months.
Okay.
Over $30,000.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything else you want to talk about on your feet?
No. I mean, it's going to take a lot of for everybody to sink in with this, but I just wanted to let you guys know where we're looking at spending money. we're going to need a big increase in capital somehow. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The IT condensing unit, that was something we had an issue with.
That's the one we had repaired, but it's repairs and some parts are switched out. We might get another 10 years out of it. It's just, I want to list everything that could
fail. We have all the equipment.
Fail, yeah. So we all want it.
We can do a little check mark as we go. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other questions? Or?
And what I'd say is get a capital spreadsheet put together of all your items, and then you can jockey it around on rankings or whatever, or this year we're short on funds, so let's get this smaller one done instead of doing a bigger one. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there could be other things that Shelly wants for capital items, or computer replacements, whatever it be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't even done like a technology plan.
Nope. And that's something.
So no matter the paint, building will need to be painted, the asphalt will need to be replaced, sidewalks will need to be replaced. Just put a placeholder, even if it's just a TBD dollar amount.
Mm-hmm. Okay, to the capital fund on page 5 there. You, I see you take computer equipment and software for $5,000 out of the capital fund revenue.
What is that?
What is that?
Well, we used that some of that money for our security cameras.
Okay.
The upgrades on that. But if we need a new server, firewall, new computers, printers, that's where all that comes from.
You don't necessarily have it spent that every year, though.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And we discussed it briefly. You should talk to Aaron and Bart. We get grant money through IPRF every year for safety grants. Anything with security would fall under that category. So if you're replacing cameras, I mean, I know they were going for body cams, all kinds of stuff this year, but I don't see why you guys wouldn't be eligible for some of that. I mean, even if you get $5,000, I mean, $5,000 you don't have to spend out of your capital funds.
What is it called?
IPRF safety grants. You get a certain dollar amount every year. It's usually, well, they release them in January. And then the city's got to submit a list saying, okay, say it's $14,000. Here's the items we want to buy. They'll say, okay, it's approved. And then you buy it and they reimburse you. Or they'll always send you a check before you can do it. Just another avenue stream,
Workers' comp companies. IPRF is a really public risk fund. Okay. So they provide workers' comp, and they also offer this safety grant that we've been taking advantage of for probably the last 4 or 5 years now.
But Erin runs it, and she usually gets a list from all the department heads on what to do. I don't see why you should put your list in there.
Yeah.
And even if nothing else, if it rolls around the next year and you're on the list that way.
I think that's a good idea.
So you're back to that, you're pulling off the DVDs and the books. Would you also want to pull out like the audiobooks and the kind of tech disc and not have that come out of the capital?
Well, sure.
That could be on the operating.
But you just need more operating.
Yeah, then we need more
operating. That's for you.
I know.
But I don't know how that fits in the other budget, so.
Probably
not. Might be something to put all that.
We can discuss.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, we can start, but, you know, and a lot of them are.
At least try it, but like, is a part of it.
Yeah.
Right.
We did on the back, and it's where
it's. And the CDs and the audiobooks aren't really large dollar amounts, so that would be obviously easier than books or computer equipment. But yeah, we can look at that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody got anything else?
I actually like it.
I'm going to throw something on. I don't know if it's possible. Rob probably won't be able to answer this question right now. But my suggestion would be all building maintenance items go through the city. I know there's a funding thing, but the new facility manager, the maintenance worker, takes over all responsibilities for maintenance. There'd probably have to be money
allocated
to the city budget. I don't know how that would all work.
And I kind of agree with you because I know the library has its own different entity, but it's in a city building.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of argued this with John when I got on here and even before. This is a city building. Just like Beecher. I mean, Beecher is still a city building. And, you know, you remember our big facilities.
Oh, I still have
study
that.
Of thousands of pages that we had to sit through. I brought it up then as a, when I was on the council. Like, okay, so these are our, I like to look at these are our homes. Mm-hmm. You don't buy a home. You're conscientious and just don't do anything to it. And when we went through that, to me, that was kind of a waste of time that we spent all that, the city spent all that money to have all these buildings looked at, and we didn't have a facility manager, we didn't have anyone doing maintenance for years. Well,
and that's why we have a maintenance worker too, because the council pushed, we don't want to build a brand new building and just go, okay, it'll take care of itself.
Yeah. Well, years ago, you had Ron Dieterich, who was on. Retired from the police department, who did stuff, but he didn't do all the buildings, and he took care of there.
And it's not like we were saying, hey, Shelly, we're not telling you anything. It's be the same communication we have now. This has failed, we're doing this, we got this on order. But she doesn't have to deal with the day-to-day invoices, she doesn't have to deal with the day-to-day, trying to manage a budget that is getting blown up quick.
So, I kind of agree with you, just in the fact that it is a city building that the library is housed.
Well, I mean, the last paragraph on the second page kind of describes the hours, what I've spent that technically is free to the library, but it's a city building. I'm not going to turn it away. I mean, Shelley's predecessor was a challenge at that.
I just think a lot of years go by for whatever reason.
It's going to be between these two boards to figure it out, but it's more pushing money from one place to the next or whatever. Or I have the rights to call an invoice to this account.
But it's all said and done, taxpayer money.
And with the new facility manager coming on and having, in theory, 20 hours more a week in Yorkville, I think it's doable. But I can't make the decision.
Anything else that we need to do? Because I know you guys are going to have to sit together and
probably
Rob and you.
We'll have to be together.
Yes.
We do.
And then I reach out and we can do another meeting.
Yes. To look at the budget again.
Yeah.
Once you plug in all the different numbers.
Right. And you can make a presentation at the board meeting on Monday if you can what we're talking about.
Okay, we're good. Okay, I get 7:13, so...